My scripture reading today is in Revelation. I'd like to start out in Revelation 22 and the first verse. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. And the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And his bondservants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. I'd like to go to verse 14 of chapter 22. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city. And down on verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take of the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the books of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. Now let's go back to the verse, the chapter 21 of Revelation, and start at verse 5. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all of the good things that you've done for us. Thank you for the blessings that you give to us. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy that you have for us. And Heavenly Father, right now we ask for you to bless our church and bless each and every one this morning who made their sacrifices to be here. Heavenly Father, bless the ones who are not here. And Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit be with them today and give them the great Sabbath. Heavenly Father, we ask all of these things in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, and amen. And my text to you is the verse 7 of the 21st chapter of Revelation. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. And we are speaking of today prophecies and things to come. We're speaking of things very intriguing when you really think about it. My message to you today is entitled River of Life. And that has a very interesting thoughts to it. That there is a river that perhaps gives eternal life. And we, of course, we know that eternal life comes from God and is salvation from him. But as we read those scriptures that I brought to you in Revelation, there's
many little passages that would intrigue us. When you think of river of life, you think of the water of life that was in some of my verses that I read to you. And you think of the tree of life, which was in more than one verse. Do you remember the first time that you may have thought or read of the tree of life? That was one of those two trees that was in the Garden of Eden in the very first few chapters of the book of Genesis. One of the trees was the one that was eaten from, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the other tree was the tree of life, which was not eaten of. And that was first used in Genesis 2 and 9. And of course, the Garden of Eden. You remember verse 3 that says, "There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His bond servants will serve Him." I know you, as I, want to be found being a bondservant, because those are the ones that's going to be with Him at that time. And in the literal family of God, and in the literal kingdom of God, a bondservant. And we would know that when we examine that expression of what it is to be a bondservant of anyone, it is the one who has heard and accepted by faith and trust the words of this book of our Creator God. The one who has heard words from this book, and has not only heard, but has accepted. And then after hearing and accepting, a bondservant is one who gives himself, gives up his rights to decision making, and puts his life and everything that happens to him or her in the hands of another, in the hands of the Master. And in this case, it's our Heavenly Father. We give up ourselves and become a bondservant to our Heavenly Father. We hear of His ways. We hear of His commands. And we love Him because of it. And we accept it. And we put our trust in Him. When we give up our rights to our life, and in essence wants Him to lead and guide our lives, and for His will to be done rather than just our will to be done. We seek His way. We let Him be the one that makes the final decision. We put our faith and our trust in Him. And as such as that, becomes His bond servant. It also goes further. It involves involvement after the faith and trust. We want to get involved. We want to help Him accomplish His plan for this earth and for everything in it. We want to help Him accomplish His will. And so we become involved. And we let Him, through His Holy Spirit, reach other through us. Involvement. Helping to lead others to know Him. And then it involves commitment. And commitment is something that we cannot express enough of. I mentioned that word many times in my messages, being committed, because I see so little of commitment in our world today, particularly in the Christian realm. Sometimes in our church, there's obvious little commitment. But commitment is a powerful word. It's a meaningful word. It's one in which our Heavenly Father wants us to have plenty of. Commitment to Him. And along with that is sincerity. And so we become His bond servant as we take on these kind of traits and changes in our life. And part of that rebirth that we speak so often of as part of salvation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and go to the 7th verse. 1 Corinthians 13 and 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecies, they shall be done away. If there are tongues, they shall cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. We're speaking of the things of love. We are speaking of commitment. Hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. When bad times comes to us, how do we let it affect us? Do we try to just go on as always before, or do we yield to Satan when things come against us? Or do we keep our faith and trust in Almighty God? There is a living water that is promised and available. We're speaking of water today when we speak of river of life and the water of life and the tree of life. It brings to your mind the idea of water and the idea of thirst. And the passages of the Bible that speaks of these things. And how there will come a time in which you won't have those kind of natural tendencies to be thirsty. But let's look and see what Jesus said concerning water and living water. Let's go to John 4 and verse 7. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Do you see, God has that living water for us as we respond to Him. He has it. It's available. He has promised it. And he will give it. And you know, one of those types of living water that once you partake of, Jesus said, you won't thirst again. One of those is the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that is given to come to us, to indwell us, to comfort us, to lead us, to guide us. The very presence of God. This was what Jesus was speaking of when he talked to this Samaritan woman. I have a gift that I can give to you that will quench your thirst. Of course, Jesus was not speaking of a natural thirst. He was speaking of that which would give to that woman something that was lacking, that she obviously was not aware of. Obviously, just as any of us today, we search for something that is missing in our life, but we don't know exactly what it is. But we're searching for it, and we're desperate to find it because we know that it will give us peace, that it will fill that void that we have had perhaps some of our lives, all of our lives. And we know something is missing, but we don't know exactly what. And Jesus knew something was missing in that woman's life. She had had five husbands that he spoke of himself to the woman. So there was things missing in that woman's life. And Jesus knew of that. And he says, I have something for you that will give you the peace that you have been looking for, that will fill that void that has been missing in your life, and I have it. And all you have to do is receive it. And Jesus is telling that to us today, that he has that peace that passeth all understanding. And that peace can be had in knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son, and God the Father, who freely wants us to have all the good things of life and all the blessings of life he has for us. We're speaking of living water this morning. Water that can satisfy everything. And the source of that water is our loving Father God. The source is perhaps, looking at another perspective, the source of living water, the source of quenching our thirst is God's Word. And just as God's Word goes forth, it goes forth and it reaches many and it does much. The result of God's Holy Word going forth is that it brings in the possibility of acceptance of God and His way, acceptance of salvation, His Holy Spirit, and the result of life eternal. Let's go to Romans 1 and 16. Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. We're speaking of a faith in God, a trust in God. We're speaking of decisions that make us, and we become, bond servants of our Heavenly Father. I would like to go now to some Old Testament verses that speak of these waters that have healing within them. And waters that have other indications of connections to our Heavenly Father. Let's go to Ezekiel 43 and verse 1. We're speaking of rivers and waters of life. Ezekiel 43 and 1. Then he led me to the gate facing the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me. He said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their harlotry and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorposts beside my doorposts, with only the wall between me and them. And they have defiled my holy name by their abominations which they have committed, so I have consumed them in my anger. We are speaking of God's house, God's temple in these particular verses. And let's go continue further with this in chapter 47 and verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, and listen how water enters into these descriptions and some of these prophecy that comes. He brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east. Do you see it speaking of the temple of God, the house of God? And it's interesting that it lets you know that it faces east. And what else is going to come from the east? For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Do you get the connection with the verses that I read you in Revelation about the river and the trees on the side of the river? Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea becomes fresh. You know, if a temple, if this house of God, the temple of God, was in Jerusalem, and the house faced east, you know where it would face? It would face directly toward the Dead Sea, the sea in which there is no life. It's so much salt in it, nothing lives. But this river that comes from beneath the temple of God, facing east, a trickle of water came out, and then it became a river which could be swam in. And it's saying that now it enters into flowing into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh, change from dead to life. And just as God's word goes out from each one of us to others, they change from being dead to being alive. They take on a meaningfulness that is beyond even our understanding. They become alive, as this Dead Sea will become alive one day by the life that comes from beneath the temple of God. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be many, very many fish. For these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. You see, the life that comes from God, this river of life. Now let's skip down to verse 12. And we want to see the connection in Revelation to the river that is spoken of there. Verse 12. By the river, on its bank and on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Do you see how wonderful that is? That there will be a river of living water. And it will be a tree which will be ever-bearing for food, for life. Never non-producing or non-bearing, but always producing, always having fruit, all kinds of fruit, varieties of fruits, and the leaves for healing. Now, keeping that in mind, I want to go back to Revelation 21. And let's read again and try to tie this together. See the ties that it has. Revelation 22, chapter 22, and then 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. Isn't that a wonderful time to look forward to? Isn't that something that God has a time in the future planned in which we can visualize that kind of sustaining power of God, that kind of deliverance, that kind of provision that God has for us? There is a river of life proceeding from the throne of God. And we need to work to be found worthy of Him. And we need to work to make sure that we are included in that family of bondservants of our Heavenly Father. At this time, I'd like to have everybody stand, and let's go to that Numbers 6 and 24, and let's repeat this together as our Heavenly Father instructs us to say these things to each other, no doubt as blessings to each one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Bow with me in prayer.